This is Ralph Kermit Winterode II with the Ralph Winterode Show, Truth Seeker of the Far North. Up in Alaska, beautiful sunny day, light breeze, spring has sprung and summer's here. Unbelievable. Beautiful weather in Alaska. Probably pushing 65, nice weather outside. You can go out and work, not get too sweaty. We don't have that humid weather either, low humidity. Well, I think today we'll probably talk about the Internal Revenue Service. Just when you think you can't be shocked anymore, I was reading in the paper that in San Francisco now they have conjugal visits for gays and lesbians. This used to be like kind of like illegal. And now we're providing facilities and endorsing it for gays and lesbians. I couldn't believe it. Of course, that could be father-son, mother-daughter. I don't know. Where does this stop at? I don't know. It seems beyond belief. One of the things that we really have trouble with in America is this thing called the Internal Revenue Fraud, this system, Internal Revenue System. They make it extremely difficult. They provide no evidence, and they provide no facts. One of the things that has been around the Patriot community, and rightfully so, is the assessment issue. They're always making these assessment issues. And it used to be the 23C with the signature. There were very few of those, but they used to actually exist. Then as the people started catching on and understanding a little more, then they went to the form 4340, which is a form. So they put a computer printout on a form. And now we've graduated to the RACS, R-A-C-S 006 system. And this is exactly the same as somebody making a total unfounded allegation, because the RACS 006 is an unknown entity puts something into a computer, just like you would type it in. And your friend comes over and prints it out and said, yep, that's what the computer said. Now, there's conclusive and legal evidence. There's not even prima facie evidence. It's not even evidence, other than the fact that it's what somebody, an unknown entity, put into a computer and what you printed out. And this is what one of the things that we struggle with, people struggle with today, with this nonsense of what they're doing. And they have a IRS bulletin that you can get off of the home page. It's a and it's quite enlightening. It's 2007-14. You can go to the IRS homepage, and they come at it and just talk about this. It's unbelievable. It says, and I'm reading out of this. I mean, this is the problem. Is how does one fight an unfounded allegation? Your neighbor comes over and or goes to the on some code enforcement. He goes down and makes an unfounded allegation. You can't find out who he is, and he says you've did this or you've done that. Or well, we're going to go to break, and when we get back, we'll continue forward here with the assessment and why it's a problem and how to go about fighting it.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Continuing on here on the problem that we have here with this Internal Revenue Service, when they come ask us what these are, you go in on a Freedom of Information and you ask for a FOIA, trying to determine where the assessment comes from, and this RACS report 006. And I'm going to read just a little bit out of this report here. And this is, how does one fight an unfounded, no evidence allegation by somebody that is worse than the mafia? They make these unfounded allegations, and this is their response. This is what these guys come after us. I'm reading right out of it now. It says, there is no legal requirement that a summary record of assessment be provided to a taxpayer before the service may proceed with collection activity. Oh, so we just send you something in the mail, and all of a sudden, we're hooked. Further, if the taxpayer requests proof that an assessment was made, the service is not required to provide any particular form or information in any particular format to the taxpayer, so long as the service provides information required by Treasury regulation. And this is a 301.6203-1 to the taxpayer. Well, it takes some understanding to see what they're doing here. First of all, 301 is an administrative procedural regulation. It has no force and effect of law. None. only subsidy regulations that have a statutory authority of Part 1, Part 20, or Part, and Part 1, of course, is individual income tax, so that's the one that most people would be concerned with. So 301 is nothing more than administrative procedural reg. There are a few rare occasions where the court has held that it does have some validity, but it is not a substantive reg that has the force and effect of law. And this is in the holdings, not dicta, of Chrysler v. Brown. Of course, the court cases that want to support this nonsense will say, oh, well, Congress said to use 301-6203. Well, guess what? In the CFRs, there is a 301 procedural administrative table. Would you like to guess what's not in that table? 301.6203-1 is not there. There is no authority for it, and the authority must be in parentheses, not brackets, and it must state the word authority, and it must give some statutory authority. Now, just because it says 301.6203 doesn't mean it's got to be Title 26 U.S.C. 6203. But there's got to be, under the 6203 tells us that is the particular statute, and then the authority could rest someplace else. But it doesn't exist. So not only do they make it up, and there's no form, there's not even the appearance of an administrative procedural reg with any authority. So you're fighting thin air, and this is the reason why they have diluted it down to nothing, because they're holding an empty bag. There is no authority in Title 26 of the CFRs. None. Zero. Zip. It's all one big grand lie. And the interesting part of this whole thing is that when you actually understand, which does take some work. I mean, it does really take some work to understand what's going on. Is that all of the authority for all of the assessment of authority sets over in Title 27? If you go look up the statutory authority for the assessment authority, it's sitting in Title 27 in CFRs 24.6.60 and 70.71. There is no assessment authority in Title 26. None. There's a 301 reg, but it has no assessment authority. It has no statute backing it up. It's just smoke. Now, that's pretty astounding. Because how does one fight an unfounded allegations when the courts back this up and the IRS says right here in this 2074-14 reg that I'm looking at here, it's April 2nd, 2007, this is the way they're going to treat a, quote, taxpayer. And then they go on, I mean, this is just great. I mean, these guys that write this, I don't know if they don't understand. Probably a lot of them at the certain levels don't understand what's really going on because it's never been explained to them. But they go on to say the service is committed to identifying taxpayers who attempt to avoid their federal tax obligations by taking these frivolous positions. The service will take vigorous enforcement action against these taxpayers and against promoters and return preparers who assist taxpayers in taking these frivolous positions. So now we have absolutely no documentation, but what's even more important is there is no statutory authority of Congress, which all regulations to have force and effect of law must show. They don't exist. But people don't understand that there are three substantive regulation tables, and these are ones that have force and effect of law, because what they've done is they have transferred, this is Congress's agencies, these agencies are sitting outside the Constitution, and to reach back in to the people of the several states, the citizens of the several states, Congress has set up this statutory scheme for the authority, statutory authority, for these subsidy regulations. But, of course, now, to make it very, very complicated, instead of just having a law of the United States, which is Article 6, they've set up this statutory scheme to make it extremely difficult, and they don't really sit down and explain how this whole scheme works. Now, you can go see at every agency, there's all kinds of them, that this statutory authority is sitting under Title 5, USC 552A1. And it says subsidy rules, which is subsidy regs, of a general application authorized by law, that's Congress, have to be published in the Federal Register. And every agency has it. They've all agreed to it. They all have to agree to it. The IRS has agreed to it in 26 CFR 601, which is a procedural regulation, .702A. It says right in it, we are going to abide by the mandate of Congress to publish in the Federal Register all of the regulations that's required. And it specifically even lines them out. That's what's even more astounding. It says in the Federal Register, there are the Part 601, which are statement of procedural rules. It says there's a 301, which are procedural and administrative regulations and subsidy regulations, such as the regulations in Part 1, which is income tax, Part 20, which is estate, and Part 31, which is employment regulations. But here comes the rub. We've got three types of regulations in the Code of Federal Regulations. And to state this simpler, what Chrysler v. Brown, how you identify, not only is the 301 procedural and administrative, and they'll have 601, which is procedural, and then they have a 1-point-something or 20-point-something for estate or 31-point-something. The Administrative Procedures Act mandates that there be a comment period for subsidy regulations. And you can see that if you go look on the Federal Register, you'll see where there's a comment date where they're trying to pass these. But stated quite simply, to get past the nonsense, we are being ruled, the people, unknowingly and unwittingly, by regulations. They're posting those up there, and who in these right minds got enough time to do that, because we thought Congress made laws of the United States, but of course they quit that a long time ago. We're being ruled by regulations, and we have an opportunity to object. Now, that is a very interesting concept. There's no constitutional rights secured there, no inalienable rights. Congress has hired these agencies and say, hey, you public school propagandized or saturated people down there, what do you think of this? Can we do this to you? How would we know to object? And is this the type of constitutional republic? Of course not. But we don't know. People don't understand because it's not taught. And that's what I'm working on, writing a book and putting together some DVDs to explain this concept, because once you understand, it's nothing like what we think it is. It is absolutely nothing like what we think it is. And they go ahead to say, because Congress is, see, they're covering their tails, and the IRS in the same reg says, well, if it's not published, it can't affect, adversely change or affect a person's rights. Well, how would you even know it's there? There's no place that I've ever seen where it lines out how this statutory scheme of Congress works. Nowhere. I've never seen it anywhere put together. Because if we figured it out, obviously there'd probably be some changes in some certain parts of the world, I'd like to think, like in our Congress and our state legislatures. I'm going to continue on with this. I hear the music. We're going to break, and we'll be back again in a few minutes for another short segment.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Well, we're back for a break, and talking about the good assessment documents that snagged literally millions of people, probably by now. That has no force and effect of law and anything standing behind it. But it's interesting to read how the IRS, they actually tell us how they're going to screw us. If you go look at this IRS bulletin that I'm talking about today, it says right in here that they're going to, it says the secretary shall make all needful rules and regulations for the enforcement. Now, that's in 7805, Title 26. And that's a real important concept. Title 26, USC 7805. It says here, the secretary shall prescribe all needful rules and regulations for the enforcement of this title, being Title 26. So what does that really mean? How can we use that to our benefit? Well, there are quite a few cases that talk about this particular issue, a whole ton of them. But one that is probably sitting up there at the top of this is Dixon versus United States. And that's 381 U.S. 68. And it specifically is in here that it talks about here, the power to adopt regulations to carry into effect the will of Congress is expressed by statute. A regulation which does not do this, but operates to create a rule out of harmony with the statute, is a mere nullity. That's another way of saying there's got to be a statutory authority. There must be statutory authority associated with these rules, these subsidy rules. And that's how they reach back and get us. Now, of course, in this bulletin, this is where it takes experience in reading these cases. They cite two particular cases here. One of them is a case out of the Tenth Circuit, 335 Fed 3D 1186, and it's March versus IRS. And they go on to validate in here that the a report, RACS, report 006, satisfies signature and certification requirements of this regulation I just gave you, a 301.6203-1. But the problem is, 301.6203-1 is not a subsidy regulation. It doesn't even have any statutory authority, but people don't know how to go check these things out. It goes on to further say that it's presumptive proof of a valid assessment, which is presumed. It's their presumption and not ours. And the only way to overcome this is to provide conclusive and legal evidence by understanding and creating a complete chain of evidence by public documents supported by the Supreme Court of what's really going on here. And at the head of this is 7805, because you will find in these, there are three tables in the CFRs, subsidy regulation tables. So the first thing you do is you go in there and you look up one, which is indicative of a Part 1 individual income tax point. You go look up the 6203 and see if there's any 1.6203 regulations in that table. Guess what? There are none. There is no authority to make an assessment, and there's no authority for the method of assessment. It doesn't exist. And all of these regulations have what's called a credit field. And if you have access to Westlaw, you can actually search in these credit fields, if you know how to do it, and do this, or you can get these three tables and just go down, because they're all put numerically, and just go down and look and see if these regulations exist. There's no authority. And this court case, like I just talked about out of the Tenth Circuit here, it's smoke. But people do not understand how to attack this and proceed down kill presumptive evidence. How do you... See, this is what's so ludicrous. And if we had like a true constitutional republic where we used to have like preliminary examination, they'd have to go in and bring the evidence in and present it. Where is the evidence of the assessment? No, now they just send a letter, and now what they do now is they print it out of, if you ask for it, they print it out of a computer. And somehow that makes it true. And you have no means, if you don't understand what's going on, in going to these courts to find anything out beyond that. Just because it came out of a computer, validated by a signature of somebody that it has no knowledge of you, it creates a presumption. And because we're not taught how to fight this with conclusive and legal evidence, starting with 7805, where they must have these regulations, and there are three types of them, and they're all mixed together in the CFRs. They just stirred them up, so we can't find them. So if you don't know enough to get the tables and go check them out, you're stuck. You're holding a losing hand. You have no way to win. Well, I hear the music again, and so we're going to go to break. And if anybody's got any questions, be sure to call in on 800-313-9443. We'll be back in a minute after break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Well, we're back for a break. We got a longer segment here. And I was just looking up here. There are 35 agencies that are mandated that I found in the Code of Federal Regulations, and they've agreed to abide by the mandate under Title V, USC, 552A1. There are 35 of them. That covers most of these agencies that are out here pounding on us every day. But the important case for this whole scenario is that the people look at is that these IRS folks, which are mere employees, not officers of the United States, they exercise no executive power of the United States, use statutes against us. Hardly ever do you ever see them mention a regulation, because if they mentioned the regulations made under the authority of Congress, it would be quite apparent that they can't touch us. But because we think that they are the government, they are not government. They're hired guns. They're private. They have nothing to do with a constitutional republic. And the only way they can reach back into us is give the appearance of being government, and that's all these agencies. An agent mandates there's got to be a sovereign, there's got to be a relationship with somebody else. It's like a corporation, no different. There's got to be two parties. Well, who are you an agent for? And, of course, they don't want to disclose that. They're all under Congress. Congress is the head of this beast that's pounding on us. But I'm going to take a little time here. There's a couple of really important situations here, and the one case, because this is a holding. This is Chrysler v. Brown, 441 U.S., 281. And this is a holding by the court. It's not dicta. It's not something or a pronouncement by the court on how they reached a holding. This is a holding of the court. And it's held. And this here, I'm going to read these three sections because it's really important to understand this concept. But this is a holding of Chrysler, and it's good as gold. And they're talking about an act here, and the legislative history to show that Congress intended the phrase authorized by law to have a special and limited meaning different from the traditional understanding that properly promulgated substantive agent regulations have the force and effect of law. In order for a regulation to have the force and effect of law, it must be substantive or legislative type rule affecting individual rights and obligations, as do the regulations in the case at bar. And it must be the product of a congressional grant of legislative authority promulgated in conformity with any procedural requirements imposed by Congress. Now, that's an A. It's got to have the statutory authority to affect our individual rights and obligations. That's a holding of the Supreme Court. That's the rule of law. Now, in C, it goes on to say in the holding, it says Section 301 is a housekeeping statute authorizing rules of agency, organization, procedure, or practice as opposed to substantive rules. There is nothing in the legislative history to indicate that a Section 301 is a substantive grant of legislative power to promulgate rules authorizing the release of trade secrets, and they go on. Thus, Section 301 does not authorize regulations limiting the scope of the Trade Secrets Act. They're talking about the trade, but there's no force and effect of law. It's a housekeeping. It's administrative procedural. Those are the 301s. And you go to D. They're talking here now. It says that there also is a procedural defect in the OFCCP disclosure regulation that precludes, which prohibits courts from affording them the force and effect of law, since they were promulgated as interpretive rules, and those are the 601s, without complying with the APA's requirement that interested persons be given general notice of an agency's proposed rulemaking and an opportunity to comment before a substantive rule is promulgated. An interpretive regulation cannot be the authorized by law required by the Trade Secrets Act. So right there, the Supreme Court in a holding has very concisely stated, we have the interpretive, which are the 601s. They can't be under the authority of by law. The 301s can't. They're housekeeping. Those are procedural administrative. Only the substantive ones, and they must have a comment period. They must have a comment period. Now, they will try to fool us, and there's nothing wrong with having a 301 table and having statutory authority to issue some administrative procedure that they're doing. But they have no force and effect of law. So here is the IRS standing on, we are making an unfounded allegation, and we're going to rely on these court cases. They have two of them. One is out of the Tenth Circuit. And if you know how to read them, they mean absolutely nothing. It's all a grand lie. It's all a ruse. And unless you, and I'm working on 1 hour proprietary module, I'm revising it, can address this fraud and create a substantive legal duty, because in Cheek, especially on the criminal side, it said there's got to be a law known and definite It clearly states there's got to be the legal duty has got to be established in that law. The Second Circuit has ruled that that legal duty is for the court to decide. Well, they never disclose all this. Never. And then there's got to be, you have to know of this. There's got to be a known legal duty. Well, how would you know it? There's no way for people to know these things. When you get it all lined out, it's not overly complicated, but it's a whole different thought process because we think, are taught that when the agency guy shows up, he's the government. He's not. He's no different than the mafia man. And he makes an unfounded allegation. You owe me money. And he sends it to you in the mail out of a computer printout. And we go to these courts, and they're in on this scam. This statutory scheme, they're in on it, and they understand what's going on. But we don't. And we go in there, and we have no chance, almost no chance, of winning. Almost zero. Because what we're talking about has no bearing to what's going on. Absolutely almost no bearing on what's going on in that courtroom. I used to think that these judges and stuff didn't understand this, but I'm telling you, they've got to understand these concepts or they'd get hooked up and they'd get tricked. They'd get into a corner. And some of the more important other cases that's really a real astounding case on this that backs up the mandate to have all needful rules and regulations shall be, they got to be published. Here's United States versus Correll, C-O-R-R-E-L-L. That's 389 U.S. 299. It's a 1967 case, 389 U.S. 299. And it says in here, there's a holding on this. It's held in another case in 2001. But it says, we do not sit as a committee of revision to perfect the administration of tax laws. It is the providence of the Congress and the commissioner, not the courts, to make appropriate adjustments. The rule of the judiciary in cases of this sort begins and ends with assuring that the commissioner's regulations fall within his authority to implement the congressional mandate in some reasonable manner, end quote. And this was held in United States versus Cleveland Indians baseball in 2001 by the Supreme Court of the United States at 532 U.S. 200. So it's a holding of the court. They can't get around it. It's a holding. It is not up to the court. It is strictly up to the commissioner. And the court is not to get involved in making suggestions or validating the fraud. That's really an important case, and there's quite a few other ones that support that whole concept. So, of course, they don't want to go there. We know how that works. I see here, just checking something here. I had my computer off here. Let's see here. We have a couple of calls. Let's go to Mike in Maryland. Go ahead.
Yes, Ralph?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much for taking my call. Yeah, I always enjoy listening to your program. It's really, really an education. I mean, it's really the matrix that we live in. I try to explain this to people, and nobody believes me, you know? And wouldn't you say that symbols are important?
Symbols?
Yes.
Well, the evil force that's here is into all sorts of symbolism.
Well, let me just give you a couple of examples, if I may. I have a silver coin collection. It's not huge, but I'm looking at one of my 1941 Mercury dimes, and if I turn on the reverse side, there's the Fasces on the back of it. I'm sure you're familiar with the Fasces, aren't you?
No, I'm not. What are we talking about here?
The Fasces is the symbol for fascism. It's a bundle of sticks with an axe sticking out of it that's wound around with a leather thong. And when the ancient...
Oh, really?
Yes. It's a symbol of fascism. And kind of a little bit of a history buff. When the ancient Romans conquered my Gaulish ancestors in France, and my British ancestors in Britain, and my Germanic ancestors in Germany, when the Roman legions, they would march through the villages and the towns, you know, this is 2,000 years ago or so in that neighborhood, and they would have the Roman legions and the centurions march, and right in front, they had a, they had the standard bearers, and they had a couple guys, official-looking guys, carrying these fasces. They're about 4 feet long, and the symbolism of the fasces is, with these wooden sticks, we will beat you into submission, and if that doesn't work, then we'll chop your head off with this axe. So there was no doubt in the minds of the conquered peoples what they had store for them if they didn't pay their taxes to the Romans and fight as mercenaries in their army, you know, whether you would play Germans against Persians, you know, Thracians against Gauls or whatever. So mm-hmm. that was a symbol of fascism. And also, if you, next time you watch C-SPAN or any program that shows the House of Representatives, it's a quick shot. They usually doesn't, I don't think they intentionally necessarily tried not to show you, but flanked on the podium where the Speaker of the House or anybody gets in front and talks, you will see the fasces symbol on either side of the podium.
So you have to. How do you spell that? How do you spell that?
F-A-S-C-E-S, fasces, or fasci, F-A-S-C-I. And that's a symbol of fascism. And one day, that's why I love your show and RBN Live and other shows on the other network, but I mostly listen to RBN Live because I hear so much good information. But one day I was traveling down the road, and somebody mentioned the fact that the United States government doesn't exist. There is no such animal. As a matter of fact, all of our agencies are registered in Delaware as corporate entities, and the guy gave the address, the www address on the Internet that lists the governmental agencies that are, well, the agencies that are corporate entities. And I was driving. I didn't have a chance to write it down. And I'm kicking myself on the behind for not remembering what it was. But there's a website called the United States Government is a Corporation. And it goes into detail talking about just this very thing. So you have to ask yourself, you know, why is our government, you know, why is the House of Representatives festooned with the symbol of fascism on either side of the podium, and why do we have the symbol of fasces on the back of our dime?
Because that's what they're doing. And
that's what they are.
I've even got business licenses in Alaska.
Yeah.
I got a business license. I don't have many more because I don't have the money, but I did it to see if I could do it because they don't exist. I got a business license for the state of Alaska, one for the Alaska State Troopers, for Anchorage, municipal corporation. I even got one for the United States. They don't exist.
Yep.
Not in this crazy world that we live in today. I couldn't believe that, because if they existed, they'd be government, and you couldn't have a license. You couldn't go buy a business license for them. But you can.
I know. And I'm a 9/11 truth advocate, and I'm also an activist. I'm a NATO war activist, too. And there are certain things that the average person, unless they're fortunate enough to listen to shows like yours and to RBN Live, I don't even, I've given up trying to tell people about chemtrails. You'll see the planes going back and forth spraying the bleeding chemtrails on the sky. And I'm see another plane go right by it, and just, you know, things like this that are so esoteric. I try to tell them about the, you know, about what you're talking about, but I know I'm kind of meandering here. I'm good at that, but. Do you recommend becoming a citizen of the United States of America or of these several states? Do you recommend going through the process?
Let me give you a real short rundown of that situation. We've got another caller hold, but let me give you a real brunt because that is a real – it's our birthright, is the root of the poisonous tree.
Will it keep me from being employed? Well, if I,
yes.
It,
Because what they've done here, the Supreme Court has ruled that you're an American citizen, a lowercase c. Everybody is that. As soon after July 4th, 1776, when you're born on the soil, called the law of the land, and it's called just soli, J-U-S space S-O-L-I. It's your birth citizenship.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the other one that everybody, and this is under Osborne versus Bank of the United States, talking about naturalization. Everybody that is comes into this country is naturalized as a citizen, as lowercase c, of the United States of America.
Yeah, okay.
Now, what that means is that is a traveling citizenship because we are composed. United States of America is the Articles of Confederation, and that's the beginning of the word several states. The sovereign countries that we have that you can go and get domiciled. Well, I hear the music here. If you hold on, I'll finish that, and then we'll get to George here when we come back, and we're going to break.
Employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Break here with a short segment talking to Mike in Maryland. And go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry. I hate to interrupt you, but let me just give you a quick anecdote and maybe a couple questions. I was at the Division of Motor Vehicles in Maryland a couple of years ago, and I was explaining this very situation to this one woman who was a naturalized citizen. And I said, there's the difference between the two. And I said, and she says, yeah. She says, when I became naturalized, I had the choice. becoming a citizen of the United States or a citizen of the United States of America? And I said, which one did you take? She looked at me, and she smiled, and she said, citizen of the United States of America. And I only have one question. It's like the riddle of the Sphinx. How do you go about doing it? Do I renounce my Social Security number? And if I do, will that make me unemployable? Will I become a homeless bum? What are the repercussions? What are the pitfalls? Is it advantageous or what?
Well, I may talk about it next hour because I want to get to George, or we'll have George hang over. But first of all, there is no authority to be naturalized as a citizen of the United States. That lady is wrong, because it's codified today in Title 8, 1449, and it's only as a citizen of the United States of America. That's the law side. Now, how they do the conversion, because I've been down here in Anchorage. Actually, I got run out of the courthouse down there. They're doing it in the district court up here. Is as soon as you take the oath and you become naturalized, you're a citizen of the United States of America. You can do everything that a natural-born native can do, which is the same status, except you can't be president of the United States. But as soon as you walk out that door, they have, you want to vote? And in Alaska, which is everywhere else, you, under the penalties of perjury, which is a Class B felony up here, you agree you want to be a citizen of the United States. You waive your fundamental rights, your birthright. You throw it away.
Unknowingly,
for something that Congress grants, and that's in 1941 of Title 42, 1982, 1983. And it goes in there and says, grant, Congress is going to give you the right to sue and be sued, the right to own personal and private property, the right to contracts, and to have the same rights as enjoyed by white citizens.
Isn't that nice?
Hoo-ha! And the reason why they can't change it, this is a killer. This is why Johnson and so many of the people back of that time frame were adamantly against the 14th Amendment, because before the 14th Amendment passed, Congress created the fiction. Congress created the rights. They just granted them. They made them up. And to make sure that nobody could change them after they created them in 1866 in the Civil Rights Act, then they, in 1868, they enacted they have the 14th Amendment. Of course, the issue is it didn't pass correctly, but what they did is then they made sure that this fiction that they created, which they're the boss of, and they control everybody. They never freed the blacks, and they've got us all locked into it now, because you just can't do anything almost without it. I mean, you can't vote, you're elected franchise, you can't get married, you can't have children, birth certificates, driver's license, everything, Social Security. It's all tied into this fictional status, and it's locked down by the Civil Rights Act, and it's the actual Civil Rights Act intact, which was strictly for the Negroes in that time frame, is sitting in Title 42, 1988. They brought all of Title 24 forward.
So are you a citizen of the USA? Do you recommend doing it,
you already are. You just have to claim it. So, anyway, we'll go on break, and thanks for calling in, Mike, and we'll talk to George next year in Florida after the break.
It's true.